Tech News Briefing is supported by FTI Consulting. From the world's largest cyber breaches to global fraud investigations, FTI Consulting is the number one expert-based firm organizations turn to in their moments of truth. Learn more at FTIconsulting.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, November 9th. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. Scientists are looking at ways to cool down microchips. One possible solution? Diamonds. Our tech columnist Christopher Mims will join us later in the show to tell us about why diamonds could be the key to beating the heat in chips and thereby making them faster. Plus, we'll learn more about never updaters, folks who never update the software on their devices. But first, advertisers on Meta's platforms will be required to disclose when they run political ads that have been altered by artificial intelligence or other software. The Facebook parent said the new policy will go into effect beginning next year, ahead of the U.S. presidential primaries. Our reporter Sam Schechter has more on why Meta is making this move.
Meta is doing this in part because they are going to be pushed to do that. There are efforts afoot to regulate the use of artificial intelligence. In the EU, for instance, there will be disclosures required as part of a new AI law. There are some exceptions, but political advertising is probably not one of the areas that would be accepted from that disclosure requirement. And similar rules might come into effect in the US. More interesting will be what happens for people who are not really on the up and up. A required disclosure only works if you disclose it. But there is work being done on technology where AI generation tools would actually watermark things that they create so that even if you didn't put a disclosure, some outside party could look at a video or an image and somehow be able to tell that it was artificially generated. Now, will that work? Is it possible? And will everybody use tools with those watermarks built in? That is a big question.
Do you update the software in your smart devices right away? According to the Pew Research Center, about 40% of adult smartphone owners say they update their smartphone OS automatically, but about 3% say they never update. Cordelia James from our personal tech team has been looking into these never updaters, and she joins us now. So Cordelia, why do never updaters say they don't want to update their devices?
So everyone has their own reasons for not updating. Some people might just feel pretty lazy and they just don't feel like it. Others really like the features that they already have on their phones and how their phone already works, so they're more resistant to change. And others feel wary because they don't know what issues the latest update might bring. Once a new update is released, it might have bugs, might have like some issues, and that kind of scares people because they don't want to be the guinea pigs that have to try it first.
You've been speaking with some never updaters. Can you give us some specific examples about who you talked to?
Yeah, one was someone who is still running iOS 15.5 on their phone. As a refresher, we're currently on iOS 17, so there are a couple versions behind. And so one of the reasons why she didn't want to update and doesn't want to update is one, because she doesn't have enough space on her phone. So if she'd have to do so much work in terms of making more space for something that she doesn't even know if she would really want or like. Also, she still has the power to read unsent messages, which was a feature that was introduced in iOS 16. So if someone were to unsend a message, she can still see it, which is something that she feels more comfortable with than having to update and change her features.
Are there any risks involved with not updating your devices?
Yeah, so first I want to say that not every update is something that needs your immediate attention. Some updates are just cosmetic, so they're just features that can just change of how maybe your phone looks or something, super harmless. But oftentimes security patches are involved in these updates, and those are the ones that you should be paying a lot more attention to. Because if you aren't updating your phone and there's a lot more time for hackers to take advantage of those vulnerabilities, then your device could be at risk of being compromised.
All right, that was Cordelia James from our personal tech team. Coming up, diamonds are a girl's best friend, and maybe for microchips too? We'll tell you why engineers are looking to the precious gemstone for the next generation of chips. That's after the break.
Tech News Briefing is supported by FTI Consulting. From the world's largest cyber breaches to global fraud investigations, FTI Consulting is the number one expert-based firm organizations turn to in their moments of truth. Learn more at FTIconsulting.com.
Microchips get hot. Engineers cram more functions and power into chips. The chips in return require more energy, and that produces more and more heat. Now, to beat that heat, engineers are looking to synthetic diamonds as a possible solution. And by cooling the chips, they could make them run even faster. To tell us more about that, we're joined by WSJ tech columnist Christopher Mims. Christopher, can you start by explaining why microchips get so hot in the first place?
Microchips have always gotten hot. That is just the central limit of how fast they can get. If you're old enough to remember when laptops got so hot that they were uncomfortable on your lap, then you understand the core problem. And then if you just extrapolate and think about all these giant AI models that everybody's pushing these days and how much processing they require, well, just imagine a giant warehouse full of microchips running as fast as they possibly can to train these new AI models. And they're going to pump as much electricity through them as they can. And that means they're going to get hot all the way up to their limits.
When it comes to microchips, the reason they're hot is because there's just so much electricity running through them at rapid speeds.
Yeah, it's really a one-to-one correlation. If you can pump more electricity through a microchip, that's what it uses to do its calculations. All other things being equal, it's just going to do more math.
So how is that heat problem being solved right now? Because there are microchips in everything.
One way that that problem is solved right now is that engineers have gotten more and more clever about how they build the systems we rely on to make sure that the chips never get too hot. So like in your phone, the limitation isn't just heat, but the amount of battery life you have, of course. So those chips are engineered to run as efficiently as possible. In the cloud, in a data center, in a gaming PC, let's say, it's a different story. And forever, companies have put these giant heat sinks. They look really funny. Some of them are like 6 inches tall on some of these really big systems. And it's just a bunch of metal fins. And it's like the radiator on an old car. It's just there to keep that thing from overheating.
Silicon is a big part of the chips that we have today. Is that element playing a role in why chips get so hot?
Yeah, silicon, it is great as a semiconductor, which means it's great as being a thing for calculating stuff, for making microchips out of. But compared to most materials, it's kind of an insulator for heat. Not that you could make a jacket out of it, but if you did, it would keep you relatively warm if you walked outside on a cold day. So that's really bad if you want to get rid of heat, because the silicon is going to tend to hold that heat in, and it's hard to carry that heat away, and that limits how fast these chips can operate.
Okay, so scientists are now looking at different materials to use so that they can beat the heat. What is one material they're looking at and why?
Well, by far the coolest is diamond. And diamond is hard to make. We only learned how to make it in a lab starting in the 1950s. At first, we couldn't make very big crystals of it. But lately, engineers have figured out how to make these giant thin wafers of diamond. And they make it in different ways. But it's a big, perfectly transparent wafer. Just picture like a 4 or 5 inch across glass disc. That's what it looks like. But it's actually diamond. And diamond can carry heat better than any other substance known to humanity. So diamond is so good at carrying heat away that if you had a little chip of one of these diamond discs in your hand, you could use it to just cut through a chunk of ice like a hot knife through butter, because the diamond is actually conducting the heat from your body into the ice.
And how important is it for them to get this right?
So heat is the number one limiter of how fast a microchip can run in a data center where you have as much power as you need. And especially for training these new AI models, getting the chips you need is hard. They're very expensive. There's a long waiting list to get your hands on them. So if you can take a given AI supercomputer and run it twice as fast, it's like you just doubled the number of AI supercomputers you have. So if you can make these AI supercomputers run a lot faster by pairing them with Diamond or some other substance, it can save you tens or hundreds of millions of dollars if you're a big company like Google or OpenAI.
Are there any barriers to using new materials in microchips?
Up to now, the real barrier to using things like Diamond to help cool microchips is cost, availability, and just the state of the art wasn't quite there yet. But apparently what we're going to see in the next 12 to 24 months is big chip makers rolling out more and more chips that are like a sandwich, and on top of it is Diamond. So the art of making synthetic diamonds has come a long way, and there have been some recent refinements and breakthroughs, and that has helped drive down the cost. And so it seems like data centers might be the next place that you see a lot of diamonds.
All right, that was our tech columnist, Christopher Mims. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Anthony Bansi with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening.